It's more than just another radio show. It's a beacon of truth. Fasten your seatbelt and find out why they call Deacon Harold Burke Sivers the Dynamic Deacon. Join Deacon Harold for a fast-paced hour that sheds encouraging light on today's culture. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And I am still reveling in my time, Australia. Now it's time for me to head back to the States and to the Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis. So I had just an amazing time in Australia. You know, I tell you, this was my ninth trip to Australia, my ninth speaking tour. And I tell you, it never gets boring. It never gets old. You know, I just had a tremendous time breaking open God's word and helping to help people experience a deeper love and intimacy of our Lord Jesus Christ and their Catholic faith. And just being with and encountering so many people who are hungering and thirsting for goodness and beauty and truth. And, you know, people came out and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And I look forward to my next trip. That'll be trip number 10. It's not scheduled yet. I mean, I'm just leaving. Right. So, but I look forward to my next trip to Australia and to this region. You know, maybe, you know, I'll be in Philippines or Papua New Guinea, India. So we're looking at all of those locations for future trips to this region, this part of the world. So I'm really excited for that. And I want to thank you, all of you, for your prayers and for your support during this tour. You know, it was incredible to share this experience with my spiritual director, Father John Amsbury, who, like I said, was my spiritual director for over 10 years until he moved out of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon to the Diocese of San Diego. And we were able to stay connected, and he came out with me for this tour, and it was just awesome. The Holy Spirit was working so powerfully through us. And just to hear the responses of people, the people who just wanted to talk to us, spend time with us and go deeper, was just beautiful. And I tell you, sometimes I'm just so grateful, not sometimes, all the time, I'm incredibly grateful to God. You know, sometimes I have to just pinch myself and say, I can't believe I get to do this every day. You know, like, this is my life, you know, literally traveling the world, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the beauty of the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. And that is something I don't take for granted. That's something that that I know is an incredible blessing and a tremendous responsibility, something that I take very seriously, but with great love and great passion and great enthusiasm. So I'm grateful to all of you for your prayers and for your support. And to the folks at EWTN, the staff, for working with the folks here in Australia so I could do the show every day while I was gone. So gone from the state. So yeah, it's just been an incredible experience. I'm really, really excited today. We have a guest on today who I've known for a very long time. In fact, when I did my very first radio show where I was a host, it was on another radio network. And our guest today, Arlen Nichols, who is a Catholic bioethicist. He's the president and founder of the St. John Paul II Foundation. I had him on like monthly or every 5 weeks or so, and he was my bioethics expert. So we'd have a rotating show talking about Catholic bioethic issues, you know, things like end of life issues, euthanasia, assisted suicide, abortion, those kinds of things. And whenever we talked about one of those topics, I'd always have Arlen Nichols on to talk about that from a Catholic bioethics perspective. And so it's so great to reunite with him again here on Beacon of Truth. So we're going to have him on talking about the work of the John Paul II Foundation, also talking about Catholic bioethics issues as well. If you want to be part of the program today, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. And as always, this show is brought to you by some amazing people working behind the scenes. We have Matt Gabinski screening your calls, Charles Berry loading up the social media, and my main man and a man who's quickly becoming one of my very good close friends, the producer of producers, Ace McKay. Ace, man, how you doing today, brother?
I'm doing good, man. I was actually thinking about you. One of the belated Father's Day presents that my daughter sent me was the lyrics book from Paul McCartney. And it's him breaking down every song he ever wrote, where the inspiration was from, how he got, this phrasing or that idea or whatever. And the thing that I love about it, because, as a creative type, I like to know that some of his process is the same as my process, which sometimes you write a really bad lyric and then you scribble it out and something later comes to you in the middle of the night or whatever. But as I've been reading these stories, what I've loved about it, like he's not necessarily been open about necessarily any particular belief system or, understanding of who God is, but he makes references to someone, he makes references to Bible passages that he clearly has sat and read these stories to be able to recall them. Now, I know sometimes in writing, when you're not an author, you have like a pseudo author or some kind of ghostwriter with you, and maybe some of that came from it, but it's supposed, the way that it's laid out is it's him having a conversation with the author, and then the author's just editing for the sake of, pages. But he's making references to Moses and God and, and how Jesus did things and where he drew inspiration in songs that, if you were to listen to them through your faith filter, are very much a very worshipful lyric or song. And so I love that process as I've been kind of getting closer to these songs that I've endured and loved most of my life. But to have an understanding of maybe he's using this as a way to reveal a little bit of himself, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I received a Christmas present of a book very similar to the one that you're describing, Ace, from Paul McCartney, from Queen. So it's about Queen. And so I love going back to their early catalog, like Queen 2, like Fairy Fellers Masterstroke. Like the lyrics are just so like, what? And like, where did he get that from? And then when you look at the book, you realize he was looking at a painting and he's describing some of the scenes from the painting. I'm like, oh, okay. The fairy folk have gathered round the moon, to see the fella crack a nut at night's noontime. He swings his axe, he swears. So I remember as a kid listening to that, like, what is he talking about? Is he making up a fantasy world like Narnia or something like that? But then when you look at the book, like, oh, now that makes sense, but you're right. I mean, there's a certain introspection as well, especially in the last album that did, Made in Heaven, which was released after Freddie Mercury died. But you look at those songs, and clearly Freddie Mercury was thinking about the end and the meaning of life, and there's more than just what we have here in this world. And maybe I'm just speculating here. I'm not trying to put words in his mouth or trying to read his mind, but maybe he, in some way, maybe in some part of his soul, regretted some of the decisions that he made, that is now caught literally costing him his life, So, and maybe that's his way of trying to work through those things, because a lot of songs are spirit, in a sense, spiritual. I put that air quote spiritual, and talking about the next world and relationships and all that kind of stuff. So, and I think that's there's a wonderful lesson there for all of us as well.
Well,
you know,
and when you think about
our life is like a song,
you know? And so many secular artists are, that question comes up is, are you a Christian artist? Are you not? Or, you know, are you, you know, do you believe in God? Because people are trying to interpret what they're saying when really, if the song speaks to you, God's going to use anything that he needs to get to us so that he can strip down those layers so that when we look at art or we look at life or we look at our, you know, breakdowns, what is it that we're learning from these things that helps us to be able to be better versions of ourselves?
Yes, exactly right. And, you know, our life is like a song, you know, our life is like a sheet of music and, you know, and those lyrics are continue to be written in our lives.
Yeah.
Right. Until we meet God, until we meet the author, mm-hmm. you know, so. All right, so excited today. Talking with Arlen Nichols of the talking about Catholic bioethics. He's the head of the St. John Paul II Foundation. If you want to be with us, send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Yeah, I love that vibe. I'm thinking right now, this is a song. Don't drink those folks. Yeah.
Come on now. A little dancing going on today.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I tell you, one thing I love about doing this show and the wonderful music that we're playing here really lifts people up,
amen.
You know, and draws them into the spirit. I love it. Great selections of music there, Ace.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Well, you listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And, you know, as I make my way back to the United States and get ready to head to the Eucharistic Congress, you know, please keep that event in your prayers, that all the people there will be drawn more deeply into our Lord's most sacred heart through the blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. And, you know, and pray for me that my talk goes well. You know, speaking in front of 50,000 people could be a bit intimidating, but I'm looking forward to it and seeing what the Lord has in store. Well, today on Beacon of Truth, we have an awesome guest, Arlen Nichols, the head of the St. John Paul II Foundation, and also an expert in Catholic bioethics. So we'll be chatting with him. If you want to be part of the program today, send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Of course, as you look for a great summer reading material, we've got the EWTN RC catalog full of great books right now, something that can add a little humor to your summer, but also tackling some of these truths, talking about divorce and abortion and things that just philosophy-wise are kind of hard to digest. And we've got G. K. Chesterton, who actually has a book called The Story of Family, and it's a chance for you to kind of understand a little more of these principles and truths of God's Word, how we should apply that to our Catholic faith. So find out more when you order at EWTNRC.com.
All right, my friends, when you hear that music, you know it is time to break open God's Word in the Psalms. This is the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth, of course, which is now its own podcast. Go to EWTNPodcastCentral.com to download the Soulful Psalms segment that you can listen to as its own podcast. Well, today, we're going to finish off Psalm 26. About a week or so ago, we looked at Psalm 26. We're not able to get through the whole thing, so we're going to finish off Psalm 26 right now. An awesome and beautiful psalm. Of course, it's in Book 1, Psalms 1 to 41. So this one was written by David. And this one had a very simple prescript that simply says, of David. Right? So very simple. So we left off at verse 6. And this one, this psalm particularly, David is talking about God giving judgment, that he's standing strong in the face of adversity. And verse six, let's pick up from there. This is a reminder of his priesthood, right? He says, I wash my hands in innocence and take my place around your altar, singing a song of thanksgiving, recounting all your wonders, right? So that's verses 6 and 7. So what does this remind you of? The holy sacrifice of the Mass, right? The priest who does the lavabo, who washes his hands before he makes the offering, right? So during the offertory, he washes his hands, and before he begins the Eucharistic prayer, then he washes his hands, right? So that's obviously not what David is referring to here, but the idea of he's washing his hands so then he can take his place around your altar. And I mentioned before in Exodus chapter 30 and Exodus chapter 40, when the priest moved from the tent of meeting to the altar of sacrifice, there was a laver, which is a large bowl used for washing, that Moses set up, and that the high priest and the priest washed their hands and their feet before they went to the altar of sacrifice. And so David, you know, talks about this. He washes his hands in innocence, take his place around the altar. And what do you do around that altar? You sing a song of thanksgiving, right? Toda in Hebrew, or Eucharistein in Greek, right? Eucharist, singing a song of Eucharist, a song of thanksgiving, recounting all your wonders. And that's what the priest does in the Eucharistic prayer, right? He's recounting the God's plan of salvation and how we enter into that relation, that saving relationship, that saving stream of grace through the holy sacrifice of the Mass due to Christ's offering on the cross for us. All right. So these two verses, 6 and 7, absolutely beautiful. And this one should sound familiar to you because this was quoted by Jesus Christ himself. Verse 8, O Lord, I love the house where you dwell, the place where your glory abides, right? I love the house where you dwell, the place where your glory abides. Remembering that it's, of course, when you think of the house where the God abides, that's church, right? So one thing I want to share here is that we should think of our parishes in a sense as our second home, right? So you have your home that you live in, but the parish becomes like a spiritual home, a second home for our families, because that's one aspect. And then our bodies, 1 Corinthians 6:19, are temples of the Holy Spirit that we have with us from God. So God also abides in a clean heart and a pure spirit that we should be fostering all the time as we deepen our relationship in the battle against sin, as we continue to exercise sin from our life, that we create more space for God's grace to work. And just to finish this off, do not sweep. So he's now beseeching the Lord. Do not sweep me away, my soul away with sinners, nor my life with those who shed blood, in whose hands are evil plots, whose right hands are filled with a bribe. So don't, again, reminds me of our Father, lead me not into temptation. In other words, God's not leading us into the temptation, but don't allow me to fall away from your love, to be tempted to fall away from your love. Don't let me fall into temptation and the pulls and the draws of the lies of the culture. And then finally, as for me, I have walked in my integrity. Redeem me and have mercy on me. My foot stands on level ground. I will bless the Lord in the assembly. So that means we give honor, praise, blessing, and glory to God in the assembly, in the midst of the culture, in the midst of society. We lift our voices not to be silent in the face of adversity in the culture, but to lift our voices up in honor and praise and glory of God. And one person who's doing that is Arlen Nichols. Arlen Nichols, a friend, we've known each other for a long time. He was a special Catholic bioethics expert on my previous radio show called From the Rooftops, when I first started out on radio on another radio network. He's the president and founder of the St. John Paul II Foundation. And I've been honored, truly honored, in the past to be able to give presentations on marriage and family life on behalf of the St. John Paul II Foundation. And you've, of course, all of you know how much I love St. John Paul II. So I want to introduce to you Arlen K. Nichols, president and founder of the St. John Paul II Foundation. Arlen, welcome to Beacon of Truth, my friend.
Thank you. It's great to be with you, Deacon. It's a real pleasure and a joy. Great to see you again.
All right. Yeah, it's always great to see you as well. And so the foundation is, you're still in Houston, right? Houston, Texas.
We are working from the heart of Texas all across the country for life and family. So yes, we're here in Houston and blessed to be here.
Okay. So so tell us, Arlen, give us an overview. What is the St. John Paul Foundation? Why did you found it? And just give us an overview. What kinds of things are you doing there?
Sure. So, you know, one of the great things about being on your show today is that this year we're celebrating our 10th anniversary. So 10 years of doing our work all across the country. It's been quite a journey, really striving our best to bring that incredible teaching and witness of St. John Paul II all across our nation. So we work in three different areas. We provide continuing education for healthcare professionals in Catholic healthcare ethics. We do that through a day-long intensive continuing education conference for medical professionals, helping them to bring their faith and to bring their ethics into the practice of medicine, that a doctor and a nurse, right, serves their patients better, right, when they come to the practice of medicine, when they come to the bedside as a Catholic committed to their faith and to their moral and ethical convictions. Our second initiative, and that's through a program called Converging Roads. Our second initiative is our Servant's Heart and our Shepherd's Heart, which is our clergy initiatives. So this is continuing education as well as formation for priests and deacons, helping our priests and our deacons to preach and provide pastoral care on life and family issues. And so we'll partner with dioceses, and I know you've attended one of our events as a deacon in your own diocese, but we'll partner with dioceses to either form their future deacons and priests or to provide them continuing education on life and family issues. And then finally, our third initiative is called Together in Holiness. Together in Holiness is a marriage enrichment initiative, helping couples to not just survive married life, but to thrive in and through and because of married life. And so we take one of those great themes for our conference series from John Paul II and really dig in deeply. You know, what does it mean to be a domestic church? What does it mean to be a school of love, a school of prayer, a seedbed of vocations, and so forth? And then what does it look like in the day-to-day realities? And then, honey, how are we going to do this? Like, how are we going to put this into practice today, tomorrow, in the weeks to come? And then finally, I got to mention this. Since we last visited, we have a new Together in Holiness formation series. So it's not just the annual conference series anymore, but we now have ongoing formation with small groups of couples getting together once a month, beautiful video, book. But the real work happens with four or five couples talking about, how do we do the Catholic thing in the home? What does it look like, right, to become what we are, this domestic church? So we're blessed to partner with dioceses all across the country. This year we have 43 conferences nationwide. And we have, by the end of the year, we'll have partnerships with 50 parishes for our new Together in Holiness formation series. So it's been a wonderful 10-year run we've had so far. Blessed to have a great team of folks who are doing wonderful work, and wonderful collaborators and supporters making it possible.
Wow, that's incredible to hear how God has really blessed the work that you've been doing at the John Paul II Foundation. Can't wait to dive in even deeper in the next part of the show. We're talking with my good friend and the president and founder of the St. John Paul II Foundation, Arlen Nichols, on Beacon of Truth. We brought a program today, Beacon at EWTN.com. Wait for it.
Come on. Little dad dance.
Yeah.
Where's the country music at?
Oh, that's on other shows, Arlen.
That reminds me of back in the day, you know, the Donnie Marie show.
Yeah,
I'm a little bit. I'm a little bit country, and he said I'm a little bit rock and roll.
That's right. He had his purple socks. He was as rock and roll as an Osmond could be.
Yeah, that's right. Wonderful memories for the past, I tell you. See, that's what music does, doesn't it? It wakens up memories, and you can remember places you were when you heard that song, feelings that you had. You know, that's the one thing about music that I love, and I can't wait till we get to our music. We can break that open even more.
Amen.
But for now, you're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and I make my way back to the United States after a great tour in the country of Australia, both in Sydney and Melbourne. We have a great guest on today, Arlen Nichols, the president and founder of the St. John Paul II Foundation. You may be part of the show today. Send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. Beacon@EWTN.com.
Of course, as you are listening to podcasts while you are on the road this summer, you can check out Podcast Central. We've got Catholic Review Radio, which is an award-winning podcast, which we love being partnered with them because faith-filled podcast is what that is all about. So from the Archdiocese of Baltimore, check out some of the great current events that they are doing in helping to shape how we see those things in our faith. You can check it out at EWTN.com/podcast.
All right. Well, again, we're talking with my friend Arlen K. Nichols, the president and founder of the St. John Paul II Foundation. And we heard in the last segment of the show, he gave us an overview of what the work of the St. John Paul II Foundation. And congratulations, they're celebrating their 10th anniversary, making a difference in the church and in the world. Arlen lives in Texas. He had his BA in philosophy from Texas A&M and a Master of Divinity degree in theology from the University of St. Thomas, great school. And he was pursuing doctoral studies in bioethics at the Regina Apostolorum in Rome. But, the work of the St. John Paul II Foundation took precedence, and God has blessed this work, and now they're making such a huge difference, so many different avenues in the life of the church. So Arlen, there's so many issues that are surrounding us today as Catholics. So many things are on the hearts of so many people that are basically being directly addressed by the St. John Paul II Foundation. You know, one of those things, for example, are the culture's so-called redefine marriage, you know, and so you're doing the Together in Holiness initiative, which is helping couples to build strong marriages as God has ordained marriage to be one man and one woman, and any children they may have together, which is the heart, the soul, the center, the foundation of civilization, culture, and society. So, you gave us an overview of all the programs. Tell us a little more about this Together in Holiness and the marriage initiatives that you're doing. And I can tell you, Arlen, having been in Australia for the past almost 2 weeks on speaking tours, a lot of this thing about pain within marriages came up. Struggling to communicate effectively, to open their hearts deeply, to share, especially the men, sharing their hearts with their wives. So tell us how the St. John Paul II Foundation helps to build strong marriages.
Sure. No, there's a whole lot of brokenness. I myself come from a broken family. There's more divorce in my family than there is marriage. But I'm blessed. I should note, by the way, I'm the father of 10. Now that's an update since I saw you last.
Yeah.
I probably added a couple kids, but we have 10 kiddos. My wife Cindy and I were very blessed. But you know, Together in Holiness is really about helping couples to really kind of do that preventive medicine, right? Like, why wait till you're on the rocks? Why wait till it's rough times? You know, let's begin investing in our marriage before those tough time comes. And let's begin, you know, making those decisions and setting a trajectory for our marriage and for our family life that truly has our sights set on the one thing that ultimately matters, right? Heaven. And it's all about that God gives us this vocation so that we can become and so that we can form saints in and through marriage and family life. And so Together in Holiness, really, it focuses on couples who are doing okay, you know, but who want to take those next steps. And through the conference series, you know, to really immerse themselves for a day in that beautiful teaching of St. John Paul II. And then also, but to do so in community with, you know, a big group of people, wonderful speakers. You know, you've been one of those speakers over the years, wonderful speakers that help us to dig in and understand what it actually looks like in day-to-day practical decisions for husbands and wives to become the family that we're called to be, to live out our mission, right, of guarding, revealing, and communicating love. And then with that Together in Holiness formation series, and this might be, you know, most applicable to our audience today, because anybody can bring it. You don't need the diocese to partner, you know, to be able to bring Together in Holiness formation series to your home and to your community. It's a beautiful opportunity for 4 to 5 couples to get together once a month and to really dig in even more deeply on the same theme for a whole year. So take School of Prayer. Each month, we're going to dig in a little bit more deeply with a beautiful video, 6.5 minutes long. It just kind of whets the whistle. It gets you going. Gets the juices flowing. And then book, quotes from the saints. But the real work happens with 4 or 5 couple friends who are really striving to raise our kids together, to become that school of prayer that we're called to be. What does it look like to pray with your spouse? How do I get over the awkwardness, right? How do I get over my own pride, in my case, right, of not wanting to pray the rosary every day, in part because I know she wants to, you know? I mean, those are the human realities and the human frailty we all experience. And so couples enter into this Together in Holiness formation series, and it's just an opportunity to really on a regular basis dig in deep and to ask those questions of what is God calling us to in our marriage and in our family life. So it's an incredible initiative, and certainly encourage any of our listeners and viewers today to look into it and to explore and consider being a part of it. It's one of a kind, so pretty awesome.
Well, Arlen, let me tell you something right now. What you just stated and outlined so beautifully is exactly what needs to be happening in marriages and families today. I mean, the issues that you brought up were exactly the issues that people talked to me about after my talks on this last speaking tour in Australia. Like, it's almost like if you were standing there listening to them, right? You nailed it. You nailed it. Now, I want to ask you this, because what you're saying is absolutely 100% agree. But sometimes it's difficult to get the husbands to participate in this.
Yeah.
You know, because somehow they think, well, let's be honest, there's a sense of spiritual lethargy there. Sometimes it's awkward. Sometimes, like both of us, Arlen, my parents are divorced. I come from divorce background as well. They're bringing their stuff and their past into their current relationship, and they don't have the tools. They don't know how to open their hearts deeply to their spouses, to communicate effectively, to pray with their spouse. You know, I mean, so how is there a way that you can encourage?
Yeah.
Because I mean, I can see the wives' hearts just leaping out of their chest as you're speaking right now. Yes, this is exactly what we need. And the husband's saying, yeah, yay team. You know what I mean? What do you suggest?
Yeah, let me give you kind of the example of how this appeals and is a good resource for men, right? And is a good initiative for men. When we drafted, when the team drafted our very first draft, of the book, there's a number of quotes and passages, and then there's questions. And the first draft of questions asked about our feelings. How did this make you feel? And I said, the word feeling is out, right? For we men, if we begin there, it is awkward. We don't want to begin there. If you start with, hey, what do you think about, right? this particular passage from John Paul II or the life of Saint Joseph, whatever it might be. What do you think about? Okay, now men will engage, right? Now, eventually we will open up, right? Eventually we will kind of break down those barriers. But if you begin with, tell me about your feelings, for men, most of us are out the door. We're going to run for the hills. So we really did design this thing so that it happens in a close-knit community of like-minded peers, the kind of men and women that you're happy to visit with, right? And to open up, but we're not going to ask you, force you to talk about your feelings in front of everybody else. You might do it. I bet you will, right? Eventually, but we're not going to start there. So it definitely is a thing for men and has been written with and for couples, of course, but it's going to appeal to men. In part, you know, it's genuinely beautifully done and beauty pierces the heart, right? And so I do think, and that's definitely true for men as well. So anyway, those are just some thoughts in terms of appealing to men. You and I both have that same passion. And we designed it to make sure that men aren't going to run for the hills.
Oh man, that is such great advice, Arlen. Agree 100%. Get away from the feeling and start thinking for men. You know, sure. And it's almost kind of the opposite for women, right? Yeah. But I love that. I love that. That's great. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And today we're talking with Arlen K. Nichols, the president and founder of the St. John Paul II Foundation. The foundation serves and educates and supports medical professionals, married couples, as we just heard, and clergy as well. So just real quick, Arlen, how can people find out more about your work? And we'll talk about this at the end of the show as well. But people, for example, who just listened to that segment on marriage, how can they find out more right now?
So you can visit our website. It's forlifeandfamily.org, all spelled out, forlifeandfamily.org. And then you can just click on the initiatives there and you can go to the medical ethics, you can go to the clergy initiatives, or you can go to Together in Holiness, the marriage enrichment. So that's the easiest way place to start the process. So forlifeandfamily.org.
Excellent. Well, okay, let's shift gears. Let's talk about another aspect of the St. John Paul II Foundation, the healthcare and medical ethics. Now, this is extremely important because our medical professionals, especially those who are Catholic, working in hospitals and environments that are antithetical to a Catholic ethos, to Catholic ethics and bioethics. You see medical professionals in hospitals where they're doing abortions and now gender transition surgeries and in vitro fertilization and, end of life, you know, euthanasia, assisted suicide. So what's the St. John Paul II Foundation helping to equip and our medical professionals working in those kinds of environments?
Sure. I mean, the first thing to say really is what you just said. It's tough for our medical professionals today. You know, most people go into medicine because of a love of life, right? And an appreciation for the gift of health, right? And so the whole thing is aimed towards protecting and preserving the integrity and beauty of life and of health, right? And when we can't cure, to care for the persons, right? That's what medicine is, right? But unfortunately, that is increasingly difficult today because of this culture that we live in as we become increasingly this aggressive, anti-religious secularism world that we live in, this post-virtue world that we live in. So it's hard for our doctors, our medical professionals, and they need to learn how to navigate the minefield that is healthcare today. And so one of the ways that we do that is for our medical ethics conferences is that we do unlimited scholarships for students. And so, like, for example, here in Houston, we had 49, I believe it was, students at our conference this past spring from, you know, all the big medical schools right here in Houston. Houston's a mecca, right? A huge place, right, for medicine in our country. And so to have them come here and to be able to learn how they can bring their faith and bring their ethics into the practice of medicine. So we hit a lot of those issues that you just touched upon: end-of-life decision-making, advanced directives, infertility, and in vitro fertilization. The transgender issues are increasingly common. End-of-life issues today, one of my biggest concerns are some of the changes today from some of the professional societies related to issues like death and organ donation. In vitro fertilization, the topic that I am most well-versed in, right? Nobody ever cared or talked about it. All of a sudden, IVF, right, has become this huge national topic that everyone is talking about. And so how do we equip our doctors and our nurses to not just address these difficult issues and to survive, but really to also provide incredibly ethical and medically sound alternatives for their patients? And so that's what Converging Roads helps doctors and nurses and future doctors and nurses to do. How do we live in this crazy kind of woke post-Christian world that we're living in within the practice of medicine? You can succeed as a Catholic medical professional. You can reach the upper echelons of your profession as a Catholic, a faithful Catholic. And so that's what Converging Roads helps our attendees to do.
Oh, that's awesome. And, you know, that's extremely important, Arlen, because some of these professionals have to make decisions whether they want to continue to work at a particular institution or not.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
It's what will, you know, on the one side, they have families to support and, you know, advancing in their careers and job security and all of that. But at the same time, you know, in the proper formation of the conscience, they can't participate in these types of activities. So they may work at the hospital, and I mean, okay, well, they're not saying I have to participate in this or this. That doesn't violate their conscience. But there may come a time where they are asked to participate in something, either do this or else.
Yeah.
Right. So it's good to know that the John Paul II Foundation is there, not to tell them what to do in those difficult situations, but to help them for their consciences so that when they do make a decision, that it's going to be a decision for life and for the church, and for ultimately the salvation of their souls and the souls of the people that they have dedicated their entire life to serve in the medical profession. So what kind of feedback have you been getting from doctors and nurses that have been attending the training?
Oh, it's, I mean, over the years, 10 years of doing this, it's been awesome. I mean, medical practices transformed, changed, trajectories set, especially for our students, right, as they're beginning to learn and navigate this incredible healing profession that they've committed themselves to. You know, one of the things that you said, and I'll tie in your last question here is, you know, we can't abandon the field, right? You know, the medicine, it is essential that men and women of faith be practicing medicine. Don't abandon the field unless you absolutely have to, right? There are times where we have to say where we have exhausted every creative solution, right, to avoid doing evil, and we can no longer accomplish good. And then we do have to abandon the field, but we need men and women of faith in medicine. And so don't abandon the field, but also don't abandon your faith either. It's both and ultimately, right, there's that conviction that good medicine is ethical medicine, and ethical medicine is good medicine as well. And so, you know, you can do both. I give you an example. I've got a friend who works in one of the most prominent hospitals in the world. He does not dispense contraception. He does not do sterilization. He helps couples. He does not do IVF. He doesn't refer for any of those things. He's a leading surgeon in the area of restorative reproductive medicine. And he's in as secular a hospital setting as there is. But he practices really good medicine. And he has a great relationship with his partners in that practice. And so, again, there are ways to do it. And you can do it well. Be, as St. Jose Maria would have said, right, be really good at your profession, right? Be really excellent at what you do, right? And that will, in a sense, right, defend you, that will protect you, and will actually give you esteem so that you can do the apostolate within medicine.
That's awesome. We're talking with Arlen K. Nichols, the president and founder of the St. John Paul II Foundation, located in the Houston, Texas area. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're talking with Arlen Nichols about the work of the John Paul II Foundation. It's just so awesome to hear that in the midst of this crooked and depraved generation, in this culture of confusion and redefinition of morality, that we have the St. John Paul II Foundation here, really equipping people, medical professionals, married couples. And finally, Arlen, this last initiative I want to talk about is the clergy initiative with priests and deacons. So how is the John Paul II Foundation working to empower our clergy, priests, and deacons to fortify them for the battle for our faith?
Sure. Well, first, I mean, our clergy have a difficult job, right? An incredibly difficult vocation. And part of that vocation is to proclaim the gospel whole and entire. And so that's what we help our priests and our deacons to do. You know, they go in and eager to preach and proclaim the gospel, and then they realize they're running a multi-million dollar business, right? With a lot of customers who are complaining, right? And don't like the direction you're going, and you're always dealing with X, Y, and Z. And there's so many things that can distract our priests and our deacons from really proclaiming the gospel of life and the gospel of the family whole and entire. And so what we do is we'll partner with the diocese to provide that continuing education or that formation before they become priests and deacons, to help them to learn how to proclaim the gospel of life to an incredibly diverse audience, right? The gospel of family to an incredibly diverse audience. I mean, I think people forget at times, right? If you're going to preach about something, right, for example, around abortion, right, that you're dealing with people who are English as a second language, you're dealing with people with advanced degrees, you're dealing with people who are 3 years old, right, and 80 years old. You're dealing with the post-abortive woman and the pro-life advocate, right, all in the same group of people. And yet you have to preach about one of the most difficult and sensitive topics. And whether it's infertility or abortion or end-of-life issues or family and marriage and the definition of marriage. And so what we do is we help to educate our priests and our deacons, talk about best practices, point them to resources. What is the science saying? What is the most recent document of the church saying? How can you preach and provide pastoral care on these life and families? Which genuinely...
Yeah, you know, I myself have been a recipient of... Yeah. I myself have been a recipient of this. You know, Dr. Roland Malare came to Oregon and gave our retreat for the deacons of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. And he did a phenomenal job. I mean, the guys were talking about it for weeks afterward, you know, so I can attest to the fact of the effectiveness of your clergy initiative. But yeah, continue to tell us about what you're doing there.
Well, the priests and deacons love it, you know, and that's just a blessing to hear. I the feedback from them, you know, we get feedback after every conference, you know, in a formal way. I'm glad to hear you heard it informally and experienced it. But to have to know that we're really impacting their preaching and pastoral care is just a real privilege. We're not there to fix our priests and our deacons. We're not there. It really is kind of, if you will, like the expert, hey, this is how you do it. You got to do it this way. But really to a genuine accompaniment with our priests and deacons and help to support them and encourage them as they strive to serve the people of God in these areas in which our culture is struggling with so greatly and where the rubber meets the road for our families today. So it's a real privilege and a blessing. This year, I think we have 13 to 15 of those clergy formation events all across the country. Most people will never see it, right? It's clergy only. It's just for those diocesan priests or those diocesan deacons. But it's an awesome privilege to be able to do, and it's really wonderful to see the impact that we are having on their pastoral care and their preaching.
Again, another aspect of exactly what we need in the church today. so much frustration that people have because they're not hearing these things from the pulpit. And the St. John Paul Foundation provides those resources so we can hear the beauty and truth of the Catholic faith and love. So Arlen, give us that website again so people can know where they can go and get and learn more information about the great work that's being done at the St. John Paul II Foundation.
You can visit forlifeandfamily.org. You can see our conferences there, as well as our Together in Holiness Formation series. So forlifeandfamily.org.
All right. Well, tomorrow is Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're looking at John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman at the well. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.